Our God is with us.
And also with you.
This is a story taken from the Gospel of Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful and be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work and orders, and to the gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming. Whether it is evening or midnight or cockcrow or in the morning, may he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, stay awake. Watch." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, the lighter won't light. And we can't see things on the screen. And it kind of talks about what today is. What brings you hope in the midst of all the conflict and craziness that's going on in the world? This is the first Sunday of Advent, and hope is the theme of this week. So answering the question, what gives me hope, is what we need to be thinking about. Yeah, we're in this season of Lent now, and some people say we're supposed to be looking for the birth of the King. One of the things that I have about five or six people ask me is, says, "Where's the pregnant Mary?" And I said, "Well, in early pregnancy, you don't see the belly sticking out." So she may be here next week. But Jesus has already been born. We're told that he was born some 2,000 years ago in a rough shelter in a Palestinian village. And we hear the ancient promises that the Hebrew people were given. And as we gather this morning, there's violence in the Holy Land. And all other places around too. It's not common Bethlehem and Jerusalem. It's not common Gaza. It's not common the Ukraine and many other places. It's not common the United States. What about us? Look at the hate messages that are going on. For Jewish people, hate messages have gone up 388%. When I was talking and going for my prescription for my glasses, my ophthalmologist is Jewish. And I said, "How are you doing it? How's the family doing?" And he said, "Not good." He said, "My kids don't want to go to the synagogue because they're afraid of what might happen." And you know, when hate raises its head against one group, hate raises its head against all other groups. African-American folks feel it. LGBTQ folks feel it. And when we were at the gay men's chorus that on Christmas yesterday in the afternoon, I got to tell you, it crossed my mind, were we safe going into that building? Is there something that could have happened? Now, it passed quickly, but I can't say that it didn't affect me. Yeah. It hit me. Churches are fighting churches within itself. There's injustice and agitation, and this whole season of dreams is turning sometimes into nightmares. We see devastation. I hear folks say, "I don't want to watch the news anymore because I don't want to listen to that stuff anymore. We're tired of it." Well, what's the scripture say about it? Now, Georgia proclaimed that word really well in sounding how the prophet was talking. And what the prophet was doing, he was talking how the people were heard. They were in exile. They were in horrible conditions. And they were saying things, blaming God for it. They were using a child's voice. They're whining that this is a bad thing for me. And what's a child voice of Marshall Rosenberg says? It's a defensive voice. It's a victimized voice. It's emotional. It's a losing attitude voice. It's a voice that's strongly negative. "You made me do it. Why don't you come down, God, and do what you did in the past?" It's like a spoiled brat. "God, you're the blame for this. You let us wander away. You hardened our hearts." You know, We hear this, and the prophet is talking about how sometimes we sound when we use violent language, when we blame each other, when we call the person on the other side the problem. We're often wrong-minded. Listen to what the prophet says. All of us, and he's reflecting what the people are feeling. We're unclean people. All of our good deeds are like polluted rags. We've withered like leaves. Our guilt is before us. Do we ever talk like that? Yeah, sometimes we do, don't we? And the prophet is calling us to take a look in that mirror. Is that what hope's about? Is that what it's about with our God? You know, all this stuff reminds me of that old song that used to be on Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Do we sound like that sometimes? Talking to each other with that? And then there's the other side. There's the parent voice, the negative side of a parent voice. And that parent voice is directive and judgmental. It's evaluative. It's win-lose. I win, you lose. It's mentally punitive. It's threatening. It's a blaming voice. Did you hear the people say and telling God what it's supposed to do? It's interesting. They're telling God what God's supposed to do. Do we ever do that? Well, come on now. Given the definitions I've given you, listen to the people. Why do you let us wander? They're shaking their fist at God. Why do you harden our hearts and so that we don't fear you? They're not taking responsibility. Do we ever do that? I think sometimes that's what we get into. And then it's, God, come fix this ugly mess that maybe we created by our judgment, by our casting other people out, by our looking down on others. But the prophet comes out in the very end with an adult voice. And that adult voice is non-judgmental. It's free of negative verbal, non-verbals. It's factual. It's often questioning, and it is win-win. Listen to the prophet. He says, yet loving God, you are our creator. We are clay, and you're the potter. We're the work of your hands. So, if we're the work of this loving God's hands, if God is the potter and we're the clay, aren't we awesome? Aren't we beautiful? Aren't we precious? And it's not just us, it's the people who we disagree with. Aren't they as well? And isn't it up to us to take responsibility so that we don't play that violent game? Oh, where'd they go? There they are. There was a bunch of these placed out in the seats by Mary Jo. And if they want to pick another one, it's about nonviolence, the vow to nonviolence. And I see in our world today, when we don't take responsibility and when we do nothing but blame others, that's violent. And we're participating in something. You see, what I see this reading, this first reading from Isaiah, it's calling us to understand who we are and whose we are. Think about that. Who you are. You're a child of God. Who are you not to be wonderful, awesome? And so are the people who we disagree with. And who are we to judge them or call them out? But if we recognize them as children of God, and whose are they? We're all God's family. You know, that's a struggle we all see over Thanksgiving and now over Christmas. How's it going to be at the family? Is everything okay? So, it's where they all are. And we fall prey to this temptation to control our destiny through coercive power. The power of violence. If I can shout louder than somebody else. The power of judgment. If I can blame them without looking for a solution. And that's the adult voice. Rather than taking that time, that adult voice, of putting ourselves into prayer and action, rooted in God's grace. God's telling us that our violent systems are what keeps us from hurting each other and separates us. So what does all this have to do with Advent and the readings and hope? Well, I think they're to challenge us to have hope and see that hope with others. You know, we often criticize Paul for what he says, but remember, by this time, Paul had been imprisoned a number of times, and he's speaking from that. He didn't have it easy, and yet, listen what he says using that adult voice as he sees the solution in the people of God whom he preached to in Corinth. He says, "So you are not lacking in any spiritual gift." He's talking to us too. This is a message he's preaching to us from being in prison. And that's the message of hope. In the midst of that dominating Roman Empire, in the midst of Jerusalem about to be destroyed, you are not... He goes, "I give you thanks, God, always on account for the grace bestowed on you in Christ, that Christ has enriched you, us, in every way, and that the testimony of Christ confirming among us that we are lacking in no gifts." Is that about hope? You bet it is. And it's something, it calls us to look and see in a new way. We have a wonderful different view of the Advent wreath, amen? I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I'm asking you, amen. Steve Fortner, and I give credit to Steve Fortner for this. Steve Fortner said, "Could we do it differently?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What if we put them in a straight line this time?" And I think sometimes the challenge to see things differently gets us out of our old ruts and to see it in a new way. You see those crusty little things up there? Does anybody know what those are? They're seed pods. What kind of seed pod?
Sweet gum.
Nope, they're not sweet gums. They're prickly like seed gums. They kind of look like they're dead. They're castor bean seeds. And if you go up, when you come up, you'll see some of the seeds on there. Where is the castor bean plant seen in the scriptures in the Old Testament? In the book of Jonah. It's in the book of Jonah. And in the book of Jonah, Jonah is sent to people who he totally disagrees with. He's sent to talk to the people of Nineveh and say, "Take a look at what you're doing because God loves you. Turn around." And Jonah says, "I don't want to do that." And so Jonah gets on this ship to try to run away. And then there's a big storm. And this is a story. It's a story the prophet was talking about to have the people of Israel look at their actions, how they were treating the people who were other. And Jonah goes and hides down in the bottom of the ship. And it still won't go. And then they finally pull him up and says, "Are you the ones causing this?" He says, "Yeah, I'm the ones causing this. Throw me over to sea." He thinks he's going to get out of it by committing suicide. And then according to the story, a big fish grabs him and gets him up and burps him up on the shore of Nineveh. And he says, "Now go love the people of Nineveh. Care for them." And he says, "I don't want to do it." "Go do it." So he goes and does it 3 days. He walks through 3 days. It makes you hear that many times, 3, 3, 3. 3 days he walks through the village, and all the people, all the way from the top down, they repent. Did the people of Israel repent? That's the question that Jonah's being asked, and God is asking the prophet about that in that story. Do we repent from condemning the other, from putting others down or judging others? Because what that does is it continues to cause the problems that we have, that violence that we have. Here's what God says then. He says to Jonah, during the day, one day the plant grows up. And if you've ever seen a castor bean plant that's grown up, it's got these big, big, wonderful leaves. And he sits under it, and he's wonderful because he gets out of the heat. And then over the night, a worm comes in. A worm gets it and the plant dies. And what does Jonah do? Complains again. And God says, you're concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern over the great city of Nineveh? You think that didn't put some burning, the great city? In which there is more than 120,000 people who cannot tell from right from wrong. They are my people too. And that's a piece we need to look at. To see the divine that's always working, that Jonah couldn't see working in himself. To give hope in that God always is there for giving, and God is there for us. And God had patience with Jonah. God has patience with you and me. That's what the prophet Isaiah was calling the people out to. Take a look, you're the work of God's hands. We can change this if you hear it, if you listen, that there's hope. So, what gives me hope? A number of us went to the transgender remembrance event at St. Clair last week. It was a powerful event. There was tons of people there. The place was packed. They were about who are you and whose are you? Understanding that we're all children of God. And there was a retired fire chief who was there, who was one of the speakers. And the retired fire chief says, you know, one of the things I learned as a firefighter, is you don't fight fire with fire. You fight fire with water. And she said, you know, when we talk about this whole thing about rejection, we don't want to fight fire with fire. We want to fight fire with love and reaching out. And that's our call as children of God. If we're going to reflect God, then we need to be people of love and reaching out to each other first, to ourselves first, and then to those around us. She said, in this way, we can't fight anger with our anger. It needs to be transformed into that, to quench the anger that's out there. I mean, I take a look at what's happening with Israel and Gaza, and are we creating more terrorists by what's happening on both sides? I'm not claiming anything on that. This Advent, what brings you hope? Please, it's no great mystery that we all need healing in our minds. And many of us are doing it all the time. It may be a mystery to some, but not others. It's quite the reality. Do you trust the Spirit? I believe the Spirit knows exactly what we need to do to be helpful. We need to be listening. We need to be looking for what that hope might be and what that healing is. And sometimes believe that voice speaks in mysterious ways. One minute I hear it, and the next minute I don't. One minute it's clear, and the next minute I don't understand. And this sometimes may be just where I am in my life. It might be fear of being healed. I can only ask to listen and to pay attention. To be alert, as that gospel was saying. Be awake. Take a look at where is it around us. So, different things that have given me hope too. When I was at the Paul Center for some 12 years, it's a transition housing program for homeless men. To see those men come through, that gave me hope in being able to see that. I have a very good friend, his name is Charles. He went through recovery 7 times. But you know, now he's one of the most effective case managers in Dayton because of what he went through and what he had to deal with. I teach classes at Dayton Correctional Institution. And I see the women coming over. One woman was talking about it, you know, what she learned. And she says, you know, I quit condemning my husband. And I tried to listen to him. And you know, now we've got a better relationship than we've ever had. And maybe it took me to go to prison before I was going to get to understand that. What gives you hope? I was talking to Debbie Schaefer this past week. And as I was talking to her, she says, "Oh, Lauren's over there. He's 80 years old, and he's holding their baby, their grandchild." And hearing her talk about it, I could just visualize him holding that baby. He's a crusty old guy, if you know him. And that gives me hope. We take a look at this community here. You all give me hope. And seeing how we look at life, how we accept each other and welcome each other. When I was on the FCM, Federation of Christian Ministries retreat up in Mariastein in October, there was 25 people there. And the origins of FCM were that it was Catholic priests who got married who joined us so they could continue to serve. But you know what's happening to this organization now? There's Lutherans in it. There's Methodists in it. There's Baptists in it. There's people who have no church, but they believe in God. And it's growing throughout the whole United States. There's people that are in that. That gives me hope. I think of Dignity USA. Wasn't that a wonderful thing that the head of Dignity USA was over talking to the Pope? I don't know if anything's going to happen with it, but it gives me hope. I take a look at that. When I look at the waffle shop, all the people who were able to work, and I know there were some that couldn't work that wanted to, but to see all those people, all of us, working with the folks upstairs, that gives me hope in this crazy world that we have. So right now, I'd like to do our comments a little differently. I'd like to take the mic around to you, because sometimes we don't hear from everybody and sometimes we hear from others. I want to pass it around and just tell me one thing that gives you hope. And in that, given how that gives you hope, you're teaching all of us to have a hopeful first week of Advent. So I'm just going to come up to people. I told you in the beginning, be ready. So be ready to go when I hand you the mic.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
You're on, John.
I always, I love sun rises in the morning, in that even when I'm driving to what I think is going to be a lousy day at work, or if I'm at home, and I just love sunrises and the sun streaming. I don't know how you cannot have hope when there's something like that.
Amen. Zach. Hold up your mouth.
I have hope because whenever I'm having a bad day, I know that when I go to bed, the next day is going to be different and it'll be better.
I have hope when I see the good people of the next generation who are trying their best to, they're going to face a world that we don't even have to face, but they have hope in changing the environment and making a good world.
Come on, Randy, give it up. I lost a lot of friends that died or moved away during COVID, and certain groups shut down and stuff, my weight loss group, and now I'm hoping to make these friends back. And starting here.
Maybe like some other people, I have trouble finding hope in the fact that I'm aging and things are only going to get worse. I have a cat, obviously. She's 15 years old. She's a feral cat, but I've had her for 12 years. And she's become tame, to me anyway. She throws up a lot, she scratches, and everything else. And she's not in perfect shape. And yet, she meows, come sit next to me here, Mom. And she falls over on her back and rubs my tummy and all this. No cat throws up a lot, you know. So she gives me hope about aging, maybe maybe even when things are going wrong with me, somebody will come along and rub my tummy.
What gives you hope?
That's easy. Grandchildren.
What gives you hope?
Faith in the promises of the living God.
Amen.
What gives you hope?
Just to be around other people who are encouraging you to have a good day.
I came here needing an answer, an affirmation for something that I think God is calling me to do, and I got it. I have hope all over the place, but that was specifically really cool.
I have hope that I have hope that the people of Gaza will, that we're building the bonds we need to not let what has become a problem for so many years remain a problem, and so that we don't see. I have hope in the international community that we're not going to see some of the things that we've seen before, and that we can help people of Gaza.
What gives you hope?
They tore down my garden this week. It's time for it to be taken down. And one of my trees is covered in buds. It's the normal way the plant grows, and it's covered with flower buds, and it's gonna happen. So, yeah, nature.
I see the young college students like at UD doing so many good things, like the Christmas thing that they have. Both our daughters went there and participated, and now I have a grandson also, and that gives me a lot of hope.
All right.
Friday night we went to the Peace Museum for their holiday opening. And they had a couple young kids that are both congressmen, a young Muslim woman, and a young Jewish man that came to the museum from Columbus together. And they spoke about how they just got put in office, and so they became friends because they were helping each other out. And, you know, how their relationship has not been affected by what's happening in the Middle East right now. And I went over and spoke to them before I left, and it's interesting because when I was leaving, I looked at them and I said, you two give me hope.
How awesome is it to listen to each other and hear the many ways of hope that we see? And as we begin this season of Advent, hear the giftedness of everyone around you. Hear the giftedness of what was shared today. Because that's what it's about. The Christ is in here. When I look at this, I see this prickly and fuzzy and pretty ugly. But the key is this beautiful seed that's in there. And what's inside this seed is going to grow to a plant that gets up this tall above my head and has got broad, big, huge leaves, and it's got a beautiful red flower that comes on it. It's what gives us hope, and let us continue to give hope to each other. Amen.
Amen. Amen.